This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All right, this hour we're going to talk with the mayor of East Wenatchee, Steve Lacy, joining us in the second half hour. And right now, our first guest on the agenda, Mike McKee, who is kind of spearheading the efforts of all the different folks, and there are a lot of them, helping gather signatures to garner a spot on the ballot this fall for Initiative 1648. And this has been a real grassroots effort, I think Mike would describe it, to get this effectively initiative for... let me slide that mic up. I forgot to mention that, but it will look like we're in a good spot there, Mike. A real grassroots effort to get this initiative that many have described as kind of term limits for tax increases onto the ballot this fall. There was an article, in fact, put in the Spokesman Review that described it as kind of starting a grass fire in a 50-mile-per-hour wind. As to how this has really taken off, Mike.
Yes, we decided to get involved here after the taxes come out from the last three nights of session. So during the wee hours of the morning with no public input, no public viewing, the Democrats passed and blessed us with $27 billion in new taxes in the last 72 hours of session.
Have you ever been involved in something like this before? I'd imagine you're, obviously, I would guess a conservative guy. Have you ever gotten involved in like a petition thing like this, or getting behind or involved with an initiative process before?
Not anything like this. I mean, I've signed petitions and, you know, talked about stuff, but, you know, to take the ball and run with it, I've never done.
What I guess what motivated? Obviously, you, I'm sure it was a concern about the taxes that we saw passed in the last legislative session. But I mean, you're a businessman and of a very successful business. I'd imagine this has taken up a lot of your time.
It has, but I think the end result's going to be worth it. If you look at the taxes that have come towards the businesses, the minimum wage, paid sick leave, paid family leave, they just keep piling up. And it's not so much that I have to pay all of that. It's that I have to account for all of that. And, that takes a ton of time. But the process is what I had the problem with on this. And I thought, no, we've got to stop this.
Well, let's talk about Initiative 1648, practically how it would work. We talked with Tim Eyman, who is the guy that put this all together several weeks ago. It's been described as putting term limits on new taxes that were passed in this last legislative session just earlier this year, effectively ends them. How would that work if Initiative 1648 is approved by voters this fall?
It would be voted on November 5th. 30 days later, December 5th, it would come into law. And anything after that, the 11 taxes would just term out at that point. Then any new taxes coming forth from, let's say, the 2020 legislative session would have a 12-month term limit as well.
So, any of these new taxes that were passed in Olympia, when would they ever be collected? Or, let's take an example of some of these. Would they not be collected at all, or would they be collected in 2020? How would that effectively work?
Yeah, effectively, it just kills all 11 of them. Many of them come into effect January 1st, and those would just, term out and go away. It would just never happen.
So how does the legislature, as a businessman or as a voter, I guess you would feel that we already had enough revenue coming into our coffers at the state level that we didn't need these. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we had an additional 3.5 $5 billion in revenue coming in, forecasted revenue. They could have balanced the budget very easily with that, but, you know, when you're in control and you got the power, then, you know, it just kind of, I like to describe it as going off the rails. And, you know, they put these taxes on, and a lot of people say, well, Mike, what exactly are the taxes they put on? It's probably easier to go back to what are the taxes they didn't put on. And then there are so many of these taxes that are at the B&O tax. You as a consumer don't see that. I as a business guy, you know, it does affect me. The gas tax, you know, they didn't put on the per gallon of gas. They put it on the per barrel at the wholesale level. So these are taxes that are going to affect all of us. It's just not one particular group of people. I mean, they have sorted out, you know, some, but for the most part, it's just going to affect all of us.
We're talking with Mike McKee, who has really sort of tried to spearhead some of the local signature gathering for Initiative 1648 in our area. About how many folks? I know you did a kind of a there's a Facebook kind of a campaign. This instantly attracted a lot of interest, and I understand thousands and thousands of folks getting behind this to at least get this onto the ballot. Describe that for us, Mike.
Well, Kerry Condotta and I decided that we were going to try to energize Eastern Washington and try to help Tim, you know, get this thing on the ballot. And we started a Facebook. At that point, it was Eastern Washington for I-1648. Within about 24 hours, I just took an absolute beating by the folks over on the west side, you know, saying that, you know, why can't we come to the party? You know, we don't like these taxes either. So after about 24 hours, I took the eastern part of it off and just opened it up for everybody, and then it exploded. Within, you know, hours, you know, we were 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 members of the group. I think today we're at 8,600, and just, you know, continuing to go. A lot of those people are business people. We put together a map, and if you go to lspac.org/locations, you can go in there, put your click on the store finder, store locator, and click it. That'll bring up a map, and you just put your zip code in, and you come up with, you know, your closest 10 places. We have about 400 businesses on that right now. We've got a couple of gals that are just working their fingers off trying to keep up with that. There's probably 800 to 1,000 businesses out there that have these petitions sitting on the counter.
And the B&O tax, let's take that as an example. You're a business owner. Mike owns the well-known Mike's Meats here over at the Pybus Market. And if you certainly haven't done business there, you certainly have walked by and been tempted, to say the least. As a business owner, how does a B&O tax affect you?
Well, I feel pretty fortunate because they didn't come after, you know, my business. But you look at the vaping industry, for example. There's an effective 60% taxes that they put on that. B&O tax for services. So your attorney, your accountant, your veterinarian, you know, they took those taxes up, and I've had a lot of them tell me, hey, Mike, you know, that's only like 1%. And I said, great. When we're only 1% to start with and you add another percent, you've just doubled the B&O tax. And those are the type of taxes that I was talking about as being hidden that you don't see as, you know, on your invoice, but prices will go up because of it.
And for those that aren't familiar how a B&O tax, that's just before it takes into no account how much revenue you're bringing in, correct?
Well, it takes everything into account of how much revenue I'm bringing in. It takes nothing into account of how much your actual income is, because I pay it on gross receipts. We're one of four states that get hammered, you know, off gross receipts.
Well, let's talk about some polling that shows that there's about a 64% overall average level of support for this for likely voters. I think it would be fair to say that folks that are more of a conservative mind, maybe even Republicans, are really supporting this. But independents and even Democrats are showing strong support for this as well. You're not taking your foot off the gas, though, in trying to get the number of signatures it will take to try and earn a spot on the ballot. So you've only got about 10 days left to try and get to that magic number, which is over 300,000 signatures gathered, correct?
Right. 320,000 is what we need to turn into Olympia. We're doing phenomenal as far as the collecting of the envelopes and the petitions. We're not there yet. We just got to keep a focus to the end line. We have to have these to the Secretary of State by July 5th. We will, and with July 4th in there, that kind of throws a curveball. So if you have petitions and you want to mail them in, they need to be sent off by about the 29th. If you want to just drop them off to one of the many locations, I think we have probably 20 locations in Wenatchee, East Wenatchee alone. Do that because Carrie and I are going to be heading over on the 5th to Olympia. So we'll gladly take these over and hand deliver them.
So once the signatures are scrutinized and then they go through that certification process, then you have to have that magic number to make it onto the ballot. Then that's likely when you would no on Initiative 1648 type campaigns emerge. You have pointed out that this has been a total grassroots effort, no paid signature gathering going on with this effort, correct?
That's correct. We've no paid staff, no signature gatherers. Many of these initiatives are funded by out-of-state money. They come in, they pay $6, $7, $10 per signature that they collect. We have none of that. This has all been 100% grassroots.
If you're successful in earning a spot on the ballot, where do you anticipate the biggest criticisms coming from? What type of attacks do you think will come against this initiative?
Well, the ones that have already come out has been some of the legislative people saying, you're going to tie our hands. We're not going to be able to bond transportation or fill in the blank. And, that's not true, because if it's a really good idea and you need that sixth lane on I-5, go sell it to the voters, because, that's the way that this is set up to happen.
We're going to give out a website that you had mentioned, Mike. You referred to this. It's lspac.org. It's lspac.org/location. And that has the, excuse me, got a little tickle in my throat there. That has the interactive map that has all the, basically the locations. If you want to go find one of these signature gathering petitions, I guess, if you'd like to support this. And then we'll see what happens in terms of qualifying for the ballot. How soon do you find out? July 5th is your deadline target date?
We'll know. Tim Iman will know, from 22 years of doing initiatives. He'll know, when we turn that in, what the chances are looking like. I'd like to turn in 400, 500,000 of these. Then there's no question. But, we'll know probably the day of. If you want to join us on Facebook, that's Washington 4, F-O-R, I-1648. Washington 4, I-1648. And, we've got 8,600 people on that are out there trying to, gather signatures and, sending them in. It's just been something that is beyond my wildest imagination.
What happens if there is a legal challenge? It seems like a lot of the initiatives sometimes are challenged in court, saying that there's some sort of technicality about them. That it deals with more than one issue, or whatever the legal argument may be. Is there going to have to be some sort of I guess, legal defense fund raised to defend this?
No. Once it gets voted on by the people, it becomes the role of the Attorney General to defend any challenges to the initiative. I suspect there will be challenges. I mean, nobody wants to lose $4 or $5 billion worth of money this coming year and, you know, for years to come. So, yeah, there'll probably be challenges, but it's certainly a one subject initiative, and that's been some of the challenges before. But, you know, once we get it to the ballot, then other people take it over from there.
Okay. Well, Mike McKee is here. He's helping spirit along the effort to get Initiative 1648 on the ballot. Just your final thoughts. So we've only got a moment or two left here. You've never done really anything like this in the past, and this one has really struck a chord with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's taken off like a grass fire. Like you said, it's running kind of on autopilot now. There are so many people out there doing this. I'm amazed at the number of people that are out there. Some of the Seattle radio stations as well are behind this, pushing it out. So, but total grassroots, and we'll see where we end up.
Well, I'd imagine there's probably a clipboard with a petition down at your place of business, which is Mike's Meats at the Pybus Market. I know a lot of folks around here would know where that is.
There is, and there's many other locations. But, what I tell people is when you go down to sign this, don't just sign it. Grab a couple of petitions and go have your friends and family sign this. And as they're saving thousands of dollars over the next 10 years, they're going to thank you.
There you go. Again, that website, if you'd like to find the location interactive map, lspac.org/location, shows you over 300 physical locations, maybe more than that, around the region that have some of those petitions if you'd like to sign one. All righty, Mike McKee, thanks for being our guest today, and we'll see what shakes out here in the remaining week and a half or so before that July 5th deadline.
Thanks so much for allowing us to share this.